One of the classic passages of all time for mothers has to be Proverbs 31. It's a model. A model that actually has 35 descriptions within it. And I know that when it comes down to moms, that they embody many of these things. I don't know who wrote this. Solomon's given credit for it. It took him 700 times to find one. 300 wives, 400 concubines. You never. Okay. Thank you, Terrence. Terrence got it. Okay. You know, I think that embodiment of all of these descriptions, it's pretty much God's ideal, but it's not found in one person. I've never seen it. I've seen great moms, moms that love their children, but all of us are human. All of us have, I'm not going to say issues. I'm going to say that we have those things that are, do you think they're issues? Now, somebody thinks they're issues, I know. Okay. But I know this, that this passage is, I've steered clear of it, just to be honest with you. I mean, some women go, I can't believe you're actually saying this stuff, if you're going to talk about this stuff. But I don't know any mother or any wife that would not to be considered a rare find. They would want their husband to say that. They'd want to be considered a valuable, something far beyond rubies, as this passage begins in Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? And then that's how we look at it. Because obviously, if they were that perfect, they wouldn't be married to you. Definitely not me, that's for sure. But that's what we come to set as an ideal, something to shoot at, something to say, I can still rise to the virtues that I find right here. And of course, these things are not based on the external. It's nothing about something that's superficial. They're characteristics of the heart. They're characteristics of who this woman is that's being described right here. And, you know, when it begins at the first of that chapter, and it says, the words of King Lemuel. Now, I have no clue who King Lemuel really was. Now, if you Bible scholars can tell me who that is, I'd be glad to learn that one. I kind of think, as one person put it, that might have been Bathsheba's nickname for Solomon. Might have been. I don't know. But I know this, that nobody came around and go, hey, Lemuel, what's happening? So, but whoever wrote this entire thing gave something very, very high and uplifting. Something that would say that a woman that could rise to this is incredible. Actually, honestly, beyond. They are certainly a rare find. A find that you just don't come across them all every day. I know that moms measure up. They measure up in so many different ways. They measure up when, honestly, we cannot begin to describe them. I know that there's not just I'm on for 8 hours a day. I'm on all the time. I'm on everything that has to be done. And to me, honestly, motherhood is, it's scary. It really is. I mean, could you imagine having me as a child? Oh, now they're not going to say anything. They've turned white with panic right there. Then I got grandkids. And one got a Band-Aid on his nose this morning. I'm so happy for him. He came back and told me that the preacher had Band-Aids. I was wondering who he thought the preacher was, but, so I said, yeah, I got a Band-Aid, but it'll cover your entire face. He didn't think that was a very good deal. But motherhood is something that we can turn our backs on a lot of things. You can't turn your back on that. We can say no to a lot of things, but you can't to this. I'm hoping that the generations that are coming on can get a grip on what is written right here as an ideal. I'm hoping they're seeing things that, as so many of us and through generations have walked away from, they didn't think it was important, didn't think that being a mother was worth being. But I think all of you that have children know better than that. You know how important it is. You know how completing it is. Oh, it's draining, absolutely draining. But the question could be, how many of you plan to be mothers? Now, sometimes we always going to say that, well, I don't know if I actually, was it your plan or was it God's plan? Obviously, God knew. But how many people actually planned? And that's why the question starts out. Who can find a virtuous woman? Where is she to be found? What is the definition of a virtuous woman? And that's something that is very difficult to come up with, too. Is it's a woman of strong moral character. She is one that has not only strong moral character, but she has strong mental character. Because it takes a lot of women to think past what a child can throw at you, and a husband too. They're righteous, chaste, they're pure. They're all of these things to their husbands. And it's a daunting question, if you ask me. I mean, because it takes 21 verses after this to answer that. It takes all of these things to bring out to the one answer that everybody goes to. She's above rubies. She's above the things that we hold most dearest. We see them every day. We see them as a candidate of honor that we should give our honor to. And it's not about those that may know us on a superficial level. It's about those that know each other very intimately. Your family. The ones that see you all the time. That spend time with you. That's what's important. What does your children think? Well, they're here to honor you today. What does your husband think? He better be smart enough to honor you every day. But we don't. We fall down in that, I'm sure, at times. But that character has been established through a relationship. A relationship that she built. In verse 11, the statement is made, the heart of the husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know, it reflects on the man, but really it's all about the woman. We know who really makes our lives. Her husband can trust her, is what he's saying there. Her husband can have confidence in her ability, confidence in her judgments. You know, that's something that men sometimes, it used to be, not as much anymore, but men used to have to walk away and went to work. And they left, and the wife was there taking care of it. Now they go out and take care of everything along with the man. They go out and do all the things that the man has to do. But the one thing that a man can give to every mom, everyone that has a child, they can say there's something steadfast about their character. There's something steadfast about their judgment. That they don't just vacillate every moment. That you can always go to them. They're solid. And that means everything right there to me. I don't have to worry about coming home to a crisis every night. Don't have to worry about coming home and find something threatening or unsettling that somebody has to handle. I guarantee you, I have had two moms in my life. One mom that never made a statement once that said, wait till your dad got home. She'd flail you in a heartbeat. As if I ever needed something like that. Yeah, right. Okay, and then another one that brought to me salvation, presented Jesus Christ. And for the past 51 years, it's been the privilege that I've got to have to train her the way she needs to go. She doesn't listen at all anymore. Yeah, I know how it is. But there's something about this particular description that it translates to inner strength. It translates to not so much maybe to accomplishments that the world recognizes, even though many of you do that every day. But it's the accomplishments you made as a mom. The most quiet. And some today are celebrating, even though mom's not here. They're no longer with us. But I know this, they're the ones that made the man. And it's not about us. It's about you. It's about what you have done and what you're doing. Verse 23 makes the statement, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. He wouldn't be sitting among the elders of the land if it wasn't for her. Yeah. Who is it that takes care of all the details? Who makes the suggestions? Who does the things that he... How do they know that you have any worth if it were not for you ladies telling them they had some worth? They need that. We need it every single day. Her family gains assurance because they got a mom there that's right there for them all the time, that's attentive, that cares. Nothing is too good for their kids. They're going to take the time to do it. Verse 27 makes that statement. He says, she looketh well of the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. You know, she's watching. She's checking the pulse of the family all the time. I know that to be true in our family, that's for sure. Because it's not a coincidence. It's something that lovingly is considerate every day. All the time, that looking for the best way to take care of their children, to watch out for them, to do things. Verse 15 goes back to point out, she riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household, a portion to her maid. How many times have I watched that? What in the world are you doing? It's still dark. I'm getting ready for lunch because everybody's coming into our house for lunch. So I'm up and I'm doing this kind of stuff. I got to go practice the piano. Wake up everybody in the entire house, Margaret. It'll be okay. Well, she's not going to wake me. I was already awake, but I was okay. But imagination. You know, women have that. Wives, moms, you got imagination. You have to have it. You're artistic. You design, you decorate, you do all these things. You have the resources. You're beautiful. You can be very elegant. You can be all of these things. Verse 14 makes that statement. She's like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. Can you imagine what can be made out of nothing? Oh, I opened the refrigerator the other day and said, there's nothing in there. But I still got a sandwich out of it all. Don't worry, I'll fix you something. Okay. But you know, the other part about that is that our household is not the perimeter of her, the way she's established. Yes, I'm talking about Margaret in this part right here, because that's not just a little circle. The circle is much larger than that. She goes off to do all kinds of things, as you do. So it's not just about the home. And it never has been about the home. But that's why your impact is so great. You do things that we don't know anything about. And then impacts the world. You have friends that, you know, I could hardly get her out of the hippodrome last night because she stopped to talk to everybody she knew. And for once, she knew more people than I knew. And it was great. It's what she always does. But in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praiseth her. She garners the praise of those that know her completely. And that's the way it always should be. We know her best. We know everything about her. And that's why the praise should be the most important. Those that comes from your family. That's what it always should be. And it not only does that for you, but it reflects the interest of life. It's far beyond the family. As important the family is, and by no means has this ever been left behind. Family's always the first thing that's always done. But I don't know a mom that should ever be stifled by just the family. I think you've got so much to share, and you prove it out every day. In verse 13 it says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. If it were written today, she's saying she went to Walmart and she went to all these places I got, because nobody's going to go out there and shear the sheep and make the wool and do all of it. Well, I mean, if you are, good. I'm happy for you. I didn't know that you did that, but maybe you do. I don't know. But what means a woman of creativity, a woman that makes things really willingly out of nothing. You know, that we don't think it can happen. I don't know how many times my mom put patches on my blue jeans or whatever, because I was always tearing them out and tearing them up. but it means it's a woman of creativity, a woman that has something to offer. And I think that's one of the misconceptions of Bible women, that that's all they did. They were chained to the house, that they didn't do anything but mind children. You know, that's all that they were ever there for. No, that's not true at all. You read this description right here, you can tell that they were unfettered. They did. This woman did many things. She was well known herself. She was as well known as her husband was. She had artistic freedom to do whatever she wanted to do. Her hand produced things. She did those kind of things all the time. And it was something that could be said of a lot of women in Bible times. Even though we always want to talk about the men, and that's the way the Old Testament was. They always want to talk about male-dominated society. Men were nothing without women. She was known for her business, the way she did things. In verse 16, it makes that statement, she considereth the field and buyeth it. If with the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard, she prideth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She girdeth. She does all of these things. Did she need a man to do that? No. She didn't at all. But we didn't need a revolution either. She needed something to say that she had good judgment. She worked hard. Keen insight. She has all of those things. She was financially independent. So gentlemen, every time they say that what's yours is mine and mine is mine. Hopefully mine is mine is mine is mine. Okay. But she trusts. She has the trust of her husband. She has the trust that characterizes a woman that can take care of herself. Now, I don't know what you guys do. If you overrun it and you make them stop and wait on you on all things, well, you're missing out on something. Because they have, everywhere I turn, I'm not shocked. Well, maybe I am a little bit. But I know that it can be done. And I know they do it very well. They do it in such a way that we don't get the chance to do it. They're not sitting around watching the soap operas, not waiting on something to happen until the man gets around. Because this woman was an enterprising woman, as wives and moms are today. They have to be. No, there's hardly anyone that I know has the luxury of just sitting around and doing nothing. Because this is never satisfying for women today. They go out and they do. That's what they've always done. I'm sorry, Mrs. Cleaver is not around today. And if you don't know what that is, go home and ask your mama. She'll tell you all about that. But she not only was that, she was in a social life. She was a giver. That's the description in verse number 20 that he makes of her. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. It wasn't just about the families. After she took care of the family, they reach out to those that truly need it. Those that are the needy, those that are needing something more than they can find from society. To the poor, they always reach out. That's something that is a hallmark of women that I know today. They had ability to meet the needs of those outside of their doorstep. And they continue to do it all the time. In verse 26, it makes the statement, she opened her mouth with wisdom and her tongue with the law of kindness. Why does she make a good counselor? Far better than most men, because she's gracious. She's willing to listen. She's sympathetic. That is a great description of who moms really are. They have wisdom beyond what a man could ever pull out. It's like an artesian well. It's deep and it runs. It's springing up within them. And they share that, but they don't just share it blabbing. They share it with kindness. They share it with depth, and they share it sparingly. You got to ask if you want the information that you're looking for. Any woman that embodies these traits is definitely, definitely fit for a price above rubies. All of these things are there, but we have to seek them out. And that, when they do, that's why, ladies, when someone comes to you, they go, how do you do it? What's your secret? How have you managed all these years? How have you made it through those trials that you faced? That's something I can't answer. That's something only you can answer. But there are those around you, younger, that are asking you, how did you pull it off? How did you make it happen? Well, I think that it's all listed right here. It tells of an ideal, but it tells also about what God is looking for and how he has instilled that in the hearts and the lives of moms everywhere today. And the last thing that she does today is that she is a woman that is aware of her own worth. And I think that's important. She's a role model. Look at verse 28. In verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. She is that role model. Moms are role models, and they're right there. They are of high esteem in the community. We get texts all the time. If I get any more texts at 11:30, I'm going to shoot somebody. It never comes to me. It's not to the preacher. It always comes to Margaret. She gets those texts. And I guess that's because they think she's up all night too. But she does things, and moms do these kind of things, that makes her worth everything. Not just in the family, but to everybody around her. And that's why you continue to turn to them. You know, you ask me what's going on, I have no clue. Go ask her. She probably has an answer to that right there. But the way that they carry themselves, the way they dress, it's modest, but it's refined. It's elegant. It's even, in some cases, as described right here, it's luxurious. When they talk about scarlet, they talk about the best right there. Look at verse number 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So what was the most important? This is the accurate description. It's a description that God said was the most important about it. And that is the truth, because that's what established everything in a home. As a mom, as a wife, is that inner relationship with God. That's what the foundation was every time. And we see it. And that's why we can turn and we can ask. Are they everything that's every one of these 35 points? No, probably not. But they have so many more than what we could ever put together. That's why I don't ever read in this word to where God put out 35 things for men. Maybe a tenth. You know, and then there was hope. So I don't think he can make it, but maybe we'll try to get there. They're independent, and I like that part. They know who they are in their own right. They are looked to all the time. They are not an appendage of their husbands. They're not, because they do things very well. And honestly, in so many ways, they don't need us. But in every way, we need them. Oh, we can talk about it. We laugh about it. We make fun. We do all those dumb things that men do. But in verse 31, giveth her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That is what is precious about it. So ladies, how should you react to this picture? How should you look at it? We may not embody everything that's laid out here, every single one of these things. I mean, you don't go out there and shear the sheep and make the wool and stuff like that. But every Christian woman should say, I will do what I can. And we see that. And we know that. And we should spend more time saying it, that we recognize it. Because when you do, as many of you do all the time, that not only brings the praise of God, it brings the praise of men. And hopefully men are smart enough to make that praise. I'm hoping, I'm telling myself. See, I always preach these things to me first. Now she's saying, practice what you preach. I know what she's saying. Proverbs 31 is it's a big one. I'm glad God didn't write anything for us like this. But I know this, that whoever King Lemuel was, he must have been smart if it took him 700 times to get there, but he at least got that part right. He knew what a model and perfect woman was. And he said, hopefully I was married to her. Let's pray.